I'm Jeff Cook.
And I'm TJ Wilson.
And this is Around the Circle.
I'm walking slowly. I'm taking my time. All I could talk in is starting to rhyme. I'm letting go, lonely, letting go of strife. I just can't get enough of this beautiful life.
The Enneagram is a map of the human personality. It's a tool for navigating relationships, creates language for what motivates us, and helps us look at the way we look at everything else. Most importantly, the Enneagram's a mirror because sometimes you need help seeing yourself. My name is Jeff Cook. I'm a philosopher in Greeley, Colorado, and with me is TJ Wilson, businessman, lover of theology, and Enneagram ninja.
Hello.
My man.
Hey, hey.
Last time we talked orientation to time. This time we are going to be talking about our repressed centers. And so we're going to jump right in.
Uh-huh.
Each of the types have one center, head, heart, or body, that they repress. In TJ's language, they don't do productive action, thinking, or feeling.
Right.
And I suppose we can just take those in turn. The 3s, 7s, and 8s, who are the independent, assertive types, are going to be feeling repressed. They're focusing on tomorrow, which means their feelings and the feelings of others aren't necessarily on their radar. It's kind of hard to think about tomorrow if you're really focusing hard on how is it that other people will feel next Wednesday.
Right.
Well, how the hell would you know?
Yeah. You know? Feelings are messy and complicated and inefficient, and they are the vulnerability of every human, and they are potentially the thing that could get us in danger. Like, feelings are often obstacles to getting toward the future that we're aiming at.
Mm-hmm.
And we can also deal with the feelings later after we've done the thing that's important. And this is not to say that 3s, 7s, and 8s don't have feelings. It's not to say that they don't experience them or emote. It's that like in their sort of standard home base kind of place, they are not appropriately engaged with their own feelings.
Yeah.
And they're not understanding of the way that their behavior affects other people's feelings.
I was talking to somebody about this morning. She was describing a home as well.
Uh-huh.
It's like there's a room over here where all the feelings are.
Yeah.
And if there's feelings in there, they're an intruder. I would actually like that room to be clear.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But if I
open
that door,
because this is something that's going, yeah, it's going to take away from the task that I want to get to,
yeah,
for tomorrow if I deal with these feelings.
Yep. Sometimes you have to clean out your house and you have to open the door and deal with the things.
Right.
Sometimes there's so much clutter in that one room that it spills out into the rest of the house and you can't control it.
Right.
But generally,
yeah,
it's put
we'll deal with that later. Later is a great time to deal with those feelings. Right now, let's focus on the task at hand.
Feels like sevens are the best example of repressed feelings, of saying, I'm setting aside sadness and anger and envy and all the rest. I'm moving into this other realm that's way more enjoyable. Here's joy. Here's contentment. Here is, foolhardiness, you know, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I am repressing one and elevating the others.
Right. That's the thing. It's you can't be all about feelings if you're not giving time to half. That's just not how it works. If you really care about feelings, then you care about all of the feelings, like fours do.
Well, the seven is going to say, why do I need to care about the dark feelings? They seem fairly...
Because those are feelings, too? Because they exist.
Unenjoyable feelings.
Because life happens, and things that aren't great happen to us, and understanding the good that can come from our dark places is actually really valuable. It's part of what makes us human, and running away from that, it only ever gets people into trouble.
This will be one of the things that the Enneagram offers, and this is another thing TJ and I invest a lot of time in, is that the big reason you invest in the Enneagram is it's about how do you get balanced and experience a holistic life.
Yep.
And the invitation for sevens here is you will actually have a happier life if you deal with your sadness.
Yeah.
You'll actually have a better, happier life if you deal with your anger, et cetera. Only the balanced, moderated, holistic life is truly happy in the way that we're created to be happy.
Right.
Bang.
Right.
Eights, repression works a little different. Eights are going to often translate all emotions, sadness, vanity, loss, into anger.
Mm-hmm.
That is itself a repressing move because it's kind of pushing them aside and elevating this other energy that you can control.
Right. And anger is a motivator. Anger helps you get things done.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so you can use anger to push through the unpleasant experience to get to the other side of it.
Yeah.
So that you can get back to what you really want to do.
This is where that bulldozer,
mm-hmm.
There's the proverb that if you're a hammer, every problem looks like a nail.
Right.
That seems to be perhaps unfortunately targeting the way that unhealthy eights go about things.
Yep, it's a thing.
Because they're...
And some healthy eights, it's because they're not in touch with their feeling center.
Right.
And particularly the way that their behavior affects other people.
Right. That's it. It's not just that your feelings are repressed. For these types, 3s, 7s, and 8s, other people's feelings also can get repressed.
Right.
So this is where the Horney language of these are the move against people
mm-hmm.
can kind of emerge.
And it's not that 3s, 7s, and 8s are constantly fighting with other people. That's not what move against means. Move against in this space is really about moving regardless of.
Yeah.
Moving despite other people. Moving against may be actually pushing against someone for the sake of disruption, or this person is an obstacle toward me getting where I want to go, so I'm going to push them out of the way. Like, that is possible. But it also could be, I am going to move, and if you are in the way, you either get on board or move out of the way.
The independence that we'll talk about in the future.
Yeah.
It's all over that. Anything else to say about eights, sir?
I also think that eights in particular, but all three of these types, I think that, like, because they are not truly in touch with their emotional center, with the way that they experience their feelings, that also means that they will... Like big thing with threes is to sort of set it aside for later. But all three of these types, they don't want to face this now. Like, this is something that I don't understand, and I don't want to let it derail what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the lack of understanding can be conscious. It can even be, I'm feeling something and I'm going to respond to the only way that I understand that feeling, which might be anger. The connection to that feeling center is broken and it doesn't come out right.
Yeah, all these types are going to have kind of a strategy at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like eights are going to be the ones that push through, but threes and sevens push through as well in a different kind of way. Threes can obviously become deceptive in terms of navigating those sorts of ground to get what they want.
I have witnessed a lot of threes performing their feelings.
Sure.
As in doing the kind of emoting that people expect in this moment so that we can get through this moment, but the actual feelings aren't going to come till later.
Right. The feelings at that point are a tool to project an image.
Right.
To get the thing that you want.
Right.
Yep.
Which is the attention.
Right. Or whatever the goal is in their mind and heart. But the feelings don't matter. The feelings... At that point, you haven't actually wrestled with your own feelings. That's acting. It's a mask.
Right.
Sevens have that charisma. What's the word that we've used in the past here?
They're charming.
Charming is it.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's similar in nature.
Yeah.
There is a goal. There's a target. And if I can charm you, I don't need to necessarily take into account your feelings, my feelings. We're moving from here to there. I'm doing it with this artistic move.
Right. And if I can't charm you, I'm just going to dismiss you. And that might be out loud. And I'm going to move on.
Yep.
See ya.
There it is. And the feeling repressed center kind of is all over that.
Mm-hmm.
So as was said earlier, when we talk about, when Suzanne Stabile talks about stance work, this is generally what is meant. It's like mm-hmm. you need to really identify your repressed center, put some attention there, focus on it, strive for balance, moderation, and holistic, you know, living. And this is one of the real treasures that Enneagram has to offer.
Yeah. As a nine, there are an awful lot of things that I encounter regularly about my nineness that are things that I need to work on. But I struggle with unproductive doing every day, all day, every day. I have to consciously make decisions to do the things that I know I need to do when I need to do them, because usually I'm trying to avoid it.
Let's talk about you then.
Great.
Fours, fives, and nines are action repressed. So again, this is the withdrawn types. When we talked about orientation and time, you had mentioned already fours, fives, and nines. Fours will get stuck in their emotions. Fives will get stuck in their thinking. Nines get stuck in a different kind of way, mm-hmm. in terms of their actions.
Yeah.
You want to talk about nines and how action repression works for nines?
Yeah, there's a... When the whole world is chaos and trying to disrupt your peace, both externally and internally, there's lots of tools that help you maintain that peace and that harmony. And those tools include shutting down. You just ignore the problems. You ignore the things that are inside. And that usually means you aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing when you're supposed to be doing it. It is very easy to lose time playing video games instead of folding the laundry. Mm. It's very easy to shift, like to start doing something when you see it, and then you see something else and you switch and start doing that, and then you see something else and you switch and you start doing that. For example, when I got home today after being out for a little while, like, I knew that I had to start some laundry, feed my daughter, get some lunch for myself, and make sure the dog was outside. And I didn't start laundry for an hour because I kept seeing something else that I needed to do. And I didn't get lunch for myself or my daughter for a very long time because I kept seeing other things that I needed to do. Like, it's not being able to prioritize what needs to happen when it needs to happen, because it's too much work. Like, that whole sense of being able to understand how to plan, how to look to the future of how these things might work, like, all of that feeds into this sense of not really being able to say, well, this task is more important than these other ones, therefore I'm going to focus on it. We don't do that. We kind of just do whatever's in front of us.
Fours, fives, and nines across the board have a general problem with establishing meaning. Mm-hmm. And meaningfulness. That becomes a right. lot easier to the other types. And this right. is priorities is all about value judgments and saying this right. this matters more than this, and then executing.
Right. Intuitionally, the stuff that we feel is more important. Like, there is an intuitional sense that comes from being in the world that this is a thing that I have to fix. But it's usually not something that's like it discounts all of the things that don't have an intuitional value to them. So fixing something in my house may be really important to me because this is something that's broken that I need to use regularly. I need to get this right. But that means that I'm neglecting things at my job. And here we are again in this unproductive doing.
Fours, in terms of their action repression, it seems that the fours who elevate the inner life, the mm-hmm. emotional life, like, that's mm-hmm. where the real value, you know, beauties and all the worlds to be discovered are.
Right.
Don't necessarily need to act in the world, yeah?
Right. And and also, like, why put yourself out there when you're expecting rejection anyway? Like, right. why, when you know you don't fit because of some sort of fatal internal flaw, then the risk of going out into the world is so much greater. Mm. When you have so many feelings and so many things going on inside, and you are naturally spending all of your energy on what's going on internally, then putting yourself out there into new spaces, into things that need to get done, it's so much more comfortable in the romanticized place that's inside your own heart and mind to just, like, spend your time with your feelings and and focus on these sort of like relationships and your thoughts about relationships. And like, relationships don't require a lot of doing, especially when your only real focus is on the feeling side of relationships.
Right.
There's a lot of us that relationships are about doing something together. And that's not the case with force. Relationships are about emotions, and you can do nothing and still have and maintain that relationship.
I suppose the last place that my mind goes there is that there may be a lot of work to be done in terms of like true self-understanding. I really want to get this nailed down before I act in the world.
Yeah.
That'll be true. This is the way that fives work as well, in terms of I really want to understand something before I act in the world.
Right.
But I can see that with fours.
Right.
At times.
And is this the right thing for me based on how I feel?
Yeah.
Like, is this going to make me feel right?
Right. And your feelings.
Not intuitionally necessarily, because they're not, it's a disconnection with their body center.
Right. And sometimes your feelings don't tell you that it's time to act for 6 months.
Right.
I haven't seen that before, but if I had, I would name it in our podcast. What are we still doing? We're just waiting for the right moment. Okay.
Well, are we?
That sounds, I mean, your mom died 6 years ago when she's sitting in my living room and we need to bury her. I realize you're still trying to feel about where she should be buried, but right now she's next to
thing.
I drink coffee.
It's
got to
be right. It's got to be the right moment. If it doesn't feel right, then we're not going to do it.
So yeah.
That's a thing. It's definitely not a real life example.
Nope. Fives. We'll see if that makes it into the podcast.
And to be clear, that is not my dead mom he's talking about. My dead mom is in my living room, and I have no problem with her being there.
Some of us want to move forward.
Some of us are just fine.
I guess forward is relative, Jeff.
It's true. Forward is relative.
It is. My whole living room is very uncomfortable right now. It's mostly been taken over by puppies. This is actually the primary task at hand.
Yeah. Got to fix those puppies.
Just pee outside. Everything gets solved if you pee outside.
So what did they say to that logic?
Yeah, they peed on the floor and right in front of me.
Oh, right. Right. Because that means nothing to them.
You get treats if you go outside. Well, you get nothing by staying in here. I'm so glad it's not the winter. Holy crap. I didn't realize how hard it would be to potty train a dog if it was the winter time.
Terrible. Yeah. Oh, unless they love the snow, and then it's great.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. So fives, likewise, and this is the one that's easiest for me to see, is that fives want to understand all the details before they act.
Yep.
But that could take forever. Like, there's countless details that could be required.
And there's the entire world of information at our fingertips at all times, all day and night, forever. And it's just in our pocket that we carry around. It is so easy to go down all these different rabbit trails and like wiki holes and like YouTube holes. And like, you can just keep learning something more and like learning the history and like the variations and all the sects that used it differently and like all of the things. Like, you can just keep going with information and keep gathering more and more, especially now.
Yep.
But even 100 years ago, fives still lived in this place where it was more important to be prepared, to be competent, to be sure of knowledge heading into something than to actually do the thing.
I don't know if sins of omission are the same here, but there's something about thumb sucking and not doing that. Like, fives looking back on their life, the regret comes there. You know, at this point I should have acted, you know, now that all the knowledge is in, I should have acted on the knowledge I had in this moment.
Sure. Yeah. The hindsight issue.
Right. Anyway. Getting into your body is the solution for action repression. I suppose talking about threes, sevens, and eights, getting into your heart is the solution to feeling repression. That's what holistic living looks like. That's what balance looks like. And so I suppose for ones, twos, and sixes then are the last of the three. they are thinking repressed. Again, because they're living, they're so externally focused, they're trying to catch up with what's going on. They're always reacting to what's in front of them.
Right.
And oftentimes that means you can't, your mind can't work that fast. So you need different tools, different strategies. But 1s, 2s, and 6s can often be ready, fire, aim sorts of folks. Mm-hmm. That aiming comes last.
Right. Yeah. And just like all of the other types, like the fact that they are thinking repressed is because of their present focus, and also their present focus is because of their thinking repression. Like you can't plan for the future if you don't prioritize information well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't prioritize information well if you don't know how to plan for the future. And it all sort of feeds itself. And so for reactive types who are in that place where they are constantly present focused, where they're constantly looking at the thing in front of them. What has to be fixed now? Who needs to be helped now? How do I get safety now? Like what is expected of me now? It's both because of that thinking repression and it causes that thinking repression. Like they are outsourcing their ability to put information in its appropriate place to something outside of themselves.
Right.
So for sixes, it's some type of hierarchy or system of rules, or like this security is the thing that's going to put my thinking in order. For twos, it's like we just maintain relationships and then all of the rest comes later.
Mm-hmm.
And for ones, like that, there is some type of out there definition of what is right and good and whole, and like there is something guiding all of this. And so long as I am attached to the right thing, that is how I get toward the wholeness I'm seeking.
Ones can often outsource their thinking to systems, to theologies, mm-hmm. to ideologies, etc.
Yeah.
And then that creates a framework that they act in.
I don't have to think if I've built these systems around which to organize my life and activities.
Right. I did the groundwork already.
Yep.
That can work sometimes. That can also, as was said, that can also be quite lazy, and it doesn't necessarily do the work of productive thinking.
Right. But it sure seems like it.
1s, 2s, and 6s commonly are going to be verbal processors, and part of that is they're externally processing their bad thinking, throwing their thinking out there. Mm-hmm. To their outsourcing through the verbal processing.
Right. And like someone else respond and tell me how to think about this.
Right.
Yeah.
For sixes, the thinking repression often comes in pair with their fears. Like here's the anxieties I have about the future. Let me verbally process those with everybody. I haven't really thought through these fears or whether these fears are legitimate, apt, worthy of my consideration. Because I haven't done the hard work to really knuckle down on what should I think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ready, fire,
and
aim.
Because of that, all of the fears that they're thinking about are equally valid.
Yep.
And this is the place where chaining comes in. So we talk about chaining is most likely in 1s, 2s, and 6s for this very reason. If this thing happens that I'm afraid of, then this thing will happen, and 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 eventually we'll all die.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I shouldn't do that first thing because we'll all die in the end if I do.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's this way that the unproductive thinking sort of chains events, that it's a possible future chained to a possible future, and unproductive thinking says it's definitely going to be that way because we don't know how to sort through those possibilities and prioritize them and put them in some kind of like real or not real category. Like categorizing the information doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And so all of these types chain, and for like specifically thinking about sixes, it is very easy for them to see a world full of possibilities and all of them are dangerous.
Right.
All possibilities carry some amount of danger. And what are we doing to prep for that danger? And that's just not me. That's not just me. That's also all of you. Like, what are we doing to protect us? Because us is safer than just me.
World of possibilities is a great phrase that I think works for ones and twos as well.
Mm-hmm.
For twos, the world of possibilities is how other people feel about me.
Right.
Twos want to be wanted and desired by the people in front of them.
Right.
They are, as was said, very aware of where they've been rejected in the past. And so let me read this other person's emotion. Well, that's mm-hmm. a very difficult target.
Right.
People's emotions transform all the time, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
There's a world of possibilities that might be going on inside of Al, whose affection you desire.
Right.
You know?
And it's entirely possible that Al doesn't communicate his feelings the way that other people do.
Yep.
But if you are unproductively thinking, then you're probably going to see that Al hates you.
It's spinning with possibilities.
Yeah.
But what if Al really likes you? I mean, that could be an option also.
And sure. Yeah, it's great.
Could be average about you. How are you going to find mm-hmm. out? Perhaps you should insert yourself into Al's life and get a better read.
I bet Al could use a casserole.
This would be a way to assess Al's true feelings. I think that's what's going on a lot of that.
Yeah.
In terms of
world possibilities, outsourcing the thinking.
Works for ones in terms of the world of possibilities is there are countless thousands of things you could do to move the ball forward. You're trying to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a butterfly effect with every single action.
Yeah.
The great thing is that some of these actions will lead to a great world. But butterfly effects are real. And some of them create tsunamis, apparently, that do great devastation.
Right.
And if I release the butterfly, TJ, and cause devastation, that's my fault.
Right. Right. And absolutely.
So I need to think through this world of possibilities.
Got to make sure that you're at least doing your part to not step on the butterfly.
You have to know all the countless trillions in philosophy speak. You have to know the mm-hmm. countless trillions of counterfactuals.
Yeah.
If I do this, then X will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's impossible to know.
Yep.
And
you definitely didn't step on that butterfly. You might have like disturbed this hornet's nest over here, but at least you didn't step on that one butterfly that's going to cause the tsunami probably in the future.
Well, both of these are bad and would probably be my fault.
Exactly. It's unproductive thinking.
You know what I should do is I should just grab hold of a system that is yep. right and just
yep.
just it will tell me what I need to do right now.
And that's why he used the butterfly analogy and did not speak about the hornet's nest. Because the system is about how the butterfly causes a tsunami. Not hornet's nest, the butterfly causes a tsunami.
I mean, both of these
are bad. That's the one I'm attached to, therefore, this is the one that's right.
Butterfly worked better with the world of full of possibilities illustration.
Yes.
Thinking repression for ones is the anxiety that's kind of underlying. I think a lot of our actions ends up being, mm-hmm. I need to be doing something now.
Yeah.
And that can commonly be a problem.
I also, I don't think we've necessarily said this to the degree that I think it's important, but thinking repression means that thinking is not objective. Ones, twos, and sixes, their thinking process is always subjective because they're repressed in their thinking center. And until they start to do some work, obviously. So what I mean by that is ones are certain that their way is right because it's their way, but they can't see outside of their own system to see that other things might be true as well. Twos are sure that they know what other people need because of their own subjective position on this subject. Sixes, their certainty of what is the right way, what is going to keep me safe, like all the things that go along with sixes, it's not objective information. It's subjective attachment to information. That is part of thinking repression.
Yeah, I would want to pile on there. So your take has routinely been on this, that the objective way to think is that there is a landscape of subjective views. and you need to understand that there's countless views, which is a very nine-ish way of coming to the world epistemologically.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
But I think you're right in terms of saying that what is happening for one's twos and sixes is they haven't done the hard work commonly to think through the things that they're most of their energy is drawn to. That's what it feels like to me. It feels like there's much more of there's a much more reactive, responsive posture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, ready, fire, aim, as I suppose. Right. Like, I think ones, twos, and sixes, when they're healthy on this front, they take time to really get their thoughts knuckled down and to engage their mind, to engage, you know, engage right thinking, you know, to read people on the matter, to consult in ways that have questions that are not Socratic in nature,
mm-hmm.
to ask questions that seek out wisdom with what a dispassionate posture. I think that might be a big part of that is the passions of one's twos and sixes color a lot of their questioning.
Yes. Yeah. An openness to being wrong is something that ones, twos, and sixes don't carry naturally. And so they have to do work to get to a space where they are open to other perspectives and interpretations and possibilities.
Yeah, especially about, is it not the case, is it especially about their processing center? This is what I'm doing for the one, it might be difficult to move them. You know, this is how I'm feeling or this person's feeling for the two, might be difficult to move them. This is what I'm thinking, what I'm fearful of, might be hard to move the six. Isn't that how that would work?
Sure.
That's not necessarily a processing center for the six. I'm getting that wrong. I suppose we consistently come to this. I don't resonate with that, with your take on this. I never resonate with your take on this. So, and I mean, that might prove the point, but I just don't, I feel like I'm incredibly flexible in my thinking on most topics. However, I do feel like I do the work to ground my opinion on
something. And that's the thing. Like, I can't showcase for you the value of other metaphysical ways of seeing the world because you have already done the work of figuring out which one is probably the best perspective on a metaphysical understanding of the universe.
How else do you get past thinking repression? I mean, if that's the sign of thinking repression, that I've done, so I've done the work on this front.
Yeah.
I'm in theory attacking my thinking repression at that point.
Yes. Which is true for this one example. I don't know that it's true for all things in your world, but there are a lot of spaces where there's some black and white energy coming from you that, like, there's just other people that see things a different way.
And the claim is that for ones, twos, and sixes, they're not open to the fact that other people are seeing the world a different way.
I think in particular, people who are asleep and people who are unhealthy in their type.
Yeah.
That is a way to describe them. Average to unhealthy, this comes out a lot more. You have done a ton of work to get your thinking into a place where it is informed.
Right.
But that's not true for all ones, twos, and sixes.
Well, here's a good illustration of this. It's real similar, would it not be, with three, sevens, and eights, and not being able to take into account other people's feelings.
Right. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Ones, twos, and sixes have a difficult time taking into account other people's perspectives. And it's an unhealthy move to say, but for the one to say, mine is the right perspective.
Right.
For the two, this is how they ought to feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the six would be there.
We should be worried about this thing.
Yeah.
We should be prepared for this thing. Yeah.
Right.
My six partner and I are regularly having conversations about, like, do we need to do the work to prep for this thing that you're afraid of, or is it never going to bother us?
Good word. Next time we're going to pick up with reference points and talk the remainder of stance here. If you are interested in our work, please go to aroundthecircle.org. You can find our online events and everything else that we are up to. We always, always appreciate subscriptions, stars, and reviews on your podcast platform of choice. The best thing you can do is share this with somebody you love, preferably somebody who's a little bit further in Enneagram and wants to take some new steps. For TJ Wilson, I'm Jeff Cook. Who you aren't just isn't interesting.